Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Swans Big Footy Podcast. My name is Bonds and joining me tonight is SM.
Hey guys.
And Swans Rule 100.
Hello everyone.
Well, we're coming off a fantastic 17-point win against Fremantle, an underdog victory for once, something that we haven't been used to over the last few seasons. Swans Rule, do you want to take us away?
Yeah, look, first quarter was a bit sloppy, but I could see what they were trying to do. The endeavour was there, and that's all we sort of called for as fans last week, the effort to be back, because we clearly weren't proud of what we saw against North Melbourne. And I thought, okay, at least they switched on to trying something. There were a few fumbles in the middle and dodgy handballs, but then it sort of started to click. I think just that late goal in the first quarter, I think McGlynn kicked it, and we were within a point at quarter time, and I think they just gave them that little spark and sniff, and they sort of ran away with it, but early days, we were kept in at five. I mean, Ted Richards played his best game in a while. That just that way he was running free and he was getting so much of the ball early on. And I think that Grundy-Richards partnership was working quite well, freeing Ted up a bit. Laidler Smith and Dane Rampey, the future Brownlow medalist, that defence was on fire early and that's very pleasing. I thought Brandon Jack and Bird as inclusions offered a little bit as well. Not a lot of the ball necessarily, but both gave a few sparks, I can remember. Jack sticking up for his brother and Bird with that intercept late. I can't remember what that was on, but it sort of stopped a certain goal. I just liked the pace that we showed through the midfield, and Buddy in the third quarter was exciting. And just to win that game against a team that's rated so highly was, you know, it's, apples and oranges compared to last week, so I was very happy with that.
Yeah, I did actually want to bring up Dane Rampey's performance. I feel as if he's been judged pretty harshly so far this year by a few people on the board. I think he's actually had a very good year. He may have had a questionable preseason with people down his disposal efficiency, but I honestly feel quite safe with him running out of defence at the moment.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, absolutely. I think as a second-year player, he's definitely getting a lot harsher criticism than you would naturally expect for a second-year player. So it's good to see him kind of sticking it up to the critics.
I think Laidler's inclusion allows Rampey to play his proper position as well. So Laidler's been important for that structure down back. And the seven-man back line, I think someone called it on the forum, which summed it up quite well. I think that's the way to go without AJ going forward.
No, it definitely is, seems to be working. I do like the fact that it seems as if on the weekend, we were manning up the loose man. We weren't allowing McFarlane to be loose in defence, which was very important compared to our previous performances, especially last week with Scott Thompson and the Kangaroos. But it seemed as if maybe we were actually taking a player away from our midfield to get that loose defender in attack in defence.
Yeah.
That's just what it seemed like to me, and our midfield didn't seem to really fall apart because of it, so it could actually be a way for us in the future.
I thought the midfield had a lot more pace in it this week as well, and I thought that it just seemed to me, and I'd like to know if you guys agree, we tried to use the corridor a bit more, brought the ball back on inboard and tried to free up runners streaming through the midfield. I might have been in my head, but it was just a lot more positive game plan this week and a bit of forward structure compared to last week.
Yeah, it was definitely noticeable at the ground that we seemed to be going up the corridor more. And it was actually interesting, there was a comment from an opposition supporter on the board about the fact that with guys like Mitchell, O'Keefe and others all in the side, they're very similar sort of midfielders. And I thought it was actually quite an apt point because bringing in guys like Brandon Jack and even Lloyd on debut, they're a very different sort of midfielder in the fact that they have a bit of pace about them. Lloyd only came on late, but it's that use of the corridor that we were able to use, which, I mean, in previous weeks, we haven't really had the personnel for. And I just think, yeah, the change in tactic to use that corridor actually just gave us a huge impetus going forward.
You're right. It was interesting to see, actually, how our midfield came around on the weekend. I think a lot of it, our midfield performance actually has to go with Hannabry returning to form. He gave us an extra outside runner and he did a fair bit of grunt work on top of that as well. I mean, he got 10 tackles on the weekend, so we can't exactly be judging him by his effort anymore. And the evolution of Ben McGlynn on top of this as well was fantastic yet again and has to be leading our best and fairest. Was a completely different performance in midfield to what we've seen so far this year, even in the Adelaide match.
It still took a little while to get going. It got better as it went, but I think early on, the defence saved us from a big quarter-time deficit. And Hannery is a good example of someone who probably took till the third quarter to really get going. A lot of his handballs were putting teammates under pressure, I thought. in the first half, and he was still a little bit lazy, but he did work into the game. McGlynn is sensational. His disposal efficiency is always a bit average because he made a couple of real blues that stood out, but, you know, his effort is unquestioned this year, and the rest of the team finally joined him. I don't think we can be too unhappy with a win in that game and the way we played.
I do actually want to ask one question, because we're not going to be getting... Well, I'm not sure if Gary Rowan will come back this weekend after his performance in the reserves. While some people talked up his performance off the half-back flank, he didn't exactly find a lot of the ball. Do you guys see a place in the future for Brandon Jack, Cunningham, Jetta and Rohan to all be in the same team, seeming they can almost be seen as similar players?
It's an interesting one. So I think it's an interesting one because a guy like Brandon Jack is, I see him much more as a forward than a midfielder necessarily. I think he's much more at home in the forward 50 than, say, a Jetta. I think Jetta's either you'd put him on the half-back flank to run the length of the ground, or you'd put him on the wing. Whereas a Brandon Jack, I think maybe one day he'll evolve into a midfielder, but like his brother, but I think he's quite home naturally as a forward pocket. So I do think there's room for those two in that sense. And then with Cunningham's another one who seems quite at home on the half-back flank. So it's almost, you know, you'd have maybe Rowan and Brandon Jack in the forward 50 and Cunningham and Jetta in the back 50 perhaps. But I think there's enough room for all of them, and we do need that pace.
Okay.
As I was saying earlier, that... Go on.
Okay, Swan's Rule. I do want to actually ask you a couple of questions just in regards to the match. I'm guessing you're pretty happy with most aspects of it. What did you believe about Longmire's decision to run Hanbury directly on 5-4 much of the game?
I didn't think it was a bad idea to keep it a bit more simple for Hanbury. I thought he was one of the laziest players in the loss last week, and I think Fife's slightly overrated at times because his disposal efficiency lets him down, but he's clearly a good player, and it was sort of like, well, you go out and work hard and follow, you know, someone who's carved us up on the SCG before. So I thought that was actually quite a reasonably good tactical move from Longmire, and I mean, it worked in the end. Hanbury probably played his best game for the season, I would be fair to say, so I think that was quite a good move, and I felt Fife had his moments in clearances along with Mundy, but he didn't hurt us as much as he had in the past at the SCG, so you got to pay Longmire credit for that move.
And the other question I wanted to ask you about, now last week Franklin was quite fairly, I believe as well, harshly criticised for his performance playing on Scott Thompson and the Kangaroos. This week, whilst he didn't kick any goals in the first half and may have looked a little bit out of touch, he didn't exactly allow McFarlane to rack up heaps of rebound 50s in the end, and it ended up with him kicking 4 goals. But at the same time, a lot of this was due to us playing him deeper in the forward 50. Where do you see Franklin playing on the ground once Tippett is back in the side?
I think Tippett back in the side, it depends on the role Tippett has to play as well. So is Tippett going to be the second ruckman, which I think the indications are that eventually he will be. So there'll be times where Franklin has to push back a bit further, but other times I think he might be able to roam a bit freer and just do what he pleases to a degree, because Tippett will be the main target down foot closer to goal. But I liked the use of Franklin yesterday because I think he played a bit closer to goal and got a bit more involved in the second half, but my biggest bugbear with Franklin at the moment is knowing the umpires are hot on that 30 seconds, so maybe get on with your kick for a start would be good. And some of his disposal himself was a bit ordinary in that first half too, but I think the use of him yesterday without Tippett was the best it's been in terms of structure. But I think it's exciting for us all to think what it could be with Tippett and then throw Goods and Reed in there potentially as well. It'll be interesting to see going forward, but I think he should have a bit more licence than Tippett because he's a creative player.
Yeah, I mean, I think Franklin, as you say, was used absolutely perfectly yesterday, and it's where I've wanted him to be played for a couple of weeks now. And he was played in a similar position against Adelaide for parts of the game, and it's that deep forward role where he can run up and make leads in the forward 50 and stay a bit closer to goal. As you say, I think when Tippett comes back, it'll be quite interesting because Tippett will then become that main focal point, and Franklin will be able to roam a bit more without as much attention as he's had so far. But I think in the meantime, yeah, playing him closer to goal seems to be working quite well.
I thought that Franklin standing up to McFarlane after that first goal was a crucial moment because Hawthorn Franklin, I didn't really like him because he was such an arrogant slog when he played, and we haven't really seen that Franklin arrogance this year, and I thought that was the first sign of coming out being the man and selling McFarlane to get nicked and taking over the game, and I think he's played low on confidence, surprisingly, this year, but that's what I really like, that aggression that he had and a lot of the team had.
I actually want to agree with that. I think Franklin has been a little bit too nice, none of the real arrogance so far this year, and whilst I didn't like the arrogance at Hawthorn, I want it at Sydney. I'm hoping for it. I want the cocky, full of himself, angry Franklin that decides to jump over defenders for fun. And even if he isn't kicking four or five goals a game, I want him to basically at least terrorise the opposition.
It's just like we used to get with Barry Hall.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm hoping for. Now, we may as well go on to the next topic. Now, Ryan O'Keefe was dropped from our side and appeared to have been almost rested on the weekend. I don't know if that's actually sounding like he may have an injury at the moment or something similar like that, but he didn't play reserves either. Where do we see him for the rest of the season? Do we believe he's honestly best 22 at the moment?
No, not at all. Not on current form. I think his days, unless he gets some pace back, his days in the midfield are gone. So he needs to reinvent himself as a half-forward flanker of some description and hit the scoreboard. And I think he needs to go to the reserves and show he can do that. Otherwise, while we're a chance at finals, we can't carry him to 300 games, as sad as that sounds. But I think he needs to go get some form in the resies and see what happens from there.
Yeah, I actually honestly have to agree. It's really a shame he's seen so... Who could have predicted that he would have fallen from form like this so harshly compared to last year? Because he was playing quite brilliantly at times. And I don't want to say it, but I don't think he's going to get many more games this year. He might get another two or three, but he's going to have to get phased out of the side.
Not unless, say, Kennedy got injured and then we were in trouble anyway, but he could come in and play that in and under role perhaps, but... We can't carry, as SM I think said earlier, we can't carry Mitchell, O'Keefe and Kennedy all in the midfield. They're all the similar pace and maybe even Bird into that equation. And out form-wise and possession-wise, O'Keefe's the worst performer out of the four and he's also the oldest. So his spot in the team is really, it's not there. And there's not really a gap up forward when we're fully fit either. So he might have to go to Melbourne and hit 300 under Paul Ruse or something.
SM, what are your honest views on the O'Keefe situation at the moment?
Yeah, well, I think I'm right on board with you guys. I think it's basically a question of does he have a role in the team, which I don't think he does, and is he the right side of 30, which he isn't. So it's almost just a he'll be depth if we need it. He'll be an experienced body when we need it, but his days are really numbered, I think. He'll maybe be part of the rotations if we're going to rest someone like a Mitchell or a Hannabry if they pick up an eagle. But otherwise, I mean, I just can't see a spot for him in the midfield or up forward.
Unfortunately, have to agree there. It's just, I don't believe the balance of our side is going to allow him in our team. Like, even on the weekend, the balance in our side looked the best it's been all year, and I believe that Tom Mitchell is an automatic in next week. Which is
absolutely
a bit of a shame because I really don't want... I'd like to see O'Keefe get the 300. I just don't think he'll be with us. Now, we may as well move on to the Melbourne game. They weren't brilliant this week, but they were competitive against Gold Coast. And it seems that Paul Ruse is getting to play a rather different brand of football that they played in the past. Even different to what we saw when he was at Sydney. It isn't as uncompromising. It seems to be more skills-driven than it was in the past. How do you honestly see the match going down against Melbourne this week, Swansrow?
Look, if I can imagine the meltdown if we lose this game, for a start. I think if you're heading down to the MCG, looking at the Melbourne crowds, you know, stretch out, you have plenty of room because there's not many people there. I think Melbourne Underoos haven't been that good. I didn't watch today's game, I have to admit, but I saw them against the Giants and they didn't really impress me much. And I didn't actually see the win. Who they beat? I can't remember now, actually.
They beat Carlton.
Okay, so no.
And what was possibly match of the season for me? That match was beautiful.
Look, if we play like we did on the weekend, we should beat Melbourne quite comfortably. The biggest interest in the game is not necessarily the opposition, but the changes we make where it's been flagged that a Tippett or a Goods and maybe even Tom Mitchell. I don't know about Sam Reed. You got some exciting potential inclusions, and I know that's potentially arrogant and potentially underestimating the opposition, but the fact is we need to get to 3-3 this weekend if we're any sort of team, because Melbourne are, whilst Roosters might be long-term working on them well, they're no good. So, and it's important we get a win at the MCG as well. So I think a nice 5-6 goal win, and the interest for me will be the ins and outs.
Who do you honestly have coming in and out of the team?
Look, it was flagged that Goods might be back. And I think based on the weekend, Tippett has to come back in. And if Goods is fit, I would pick him. But then it's interesting because I think Derricks has to come out for one of them because we can't stay that tall, but I don't know if Tippett can ruck. So does LRT go to the ruck? Maybe he does. If he can't ruck, then Tippett has to ruck and Goods probably comes in and LRT goes because we can't carry too many tools in the forward line. So maybe it's Tippett and Goods in for LRT Derricks.
Tippett has shown in the past that he is quite a competent ruckman and he had done a bit of ruck work over the preseason this year, but
coming off that knee injury. Excellent ruckman, but it's just ruck coming back from an injury, throwing him into the ruck is just my only concern. That's all. If he's fit and ready to go, he's a perfect second ruckman, and Pike's quite handy up forward. So I think long term you've got a Tippett Pike combination, Franklin Reed Goods up forward, but it depends where Reed's at. But I'm actually starting to worry about where LRT plays in a fully fit team even this weekend. So I don't know where you guys sit on that, but I think Derrick's has to
go. As I was starting to suggest last week, we have to wonder whether LRT's time is starting to run out as well.
I'd have to almost agree with that. It's just, it's a shame because LRT's been, he's been playing in the Swans nearly the entire time I started supporting him. But it's going to be rather, it'll be weird having a side without LRT on the roster, but I can't see where he fits into the team right now.
Unless he can come in and really excel in that second ruck, and Tippett just never plays ruck, but then you've potentially got an LRT, Goods, Franklin, Reed, Tippett. It's a very, very tall forward line. It won't work. So I think LRT's best football has always been down back, but again, Grundy and Ted are ahead of him, so he's too slow to go back and play as the third tall. He's an honest toiler, and I haven't had a problem with his performance per se, but just a full-strength side, I think he's becoming a depth player rather than a first 22.
I have to agree with that. Personally, and I don't think everyone's going to agree with my ins and outs this week, I want Goods to play a match of reserves football. I know it sounds ridiculous. We've got a dual Brownlow medalist, multiple best and fairest, four-time All-Australian player coming back in our reserves, but he hasn't even played any.
No, we saw it happen with Judd today. It's not ridiculous. It's just Logmeyer sort of flagged his inclusion, so that's what I was basing it on. But I think
I don't think we can play both Tippett and Goods coming back from injury in the same team.
Unless Goods is the sub, maybe I would think about it.
But I think, yeah, like you're saying, I'd look at the way that Judd came back today, and now he's probably going to be out for quite a while with what looked like a pretty bad hamstring injury. I just don't think you can rush these guys back, and I don't think there's any good that'll come out of it against a side like Melbourne. I don't think Goods will be the difference between a win or a loss, so I don't think we should rush him back.
I do want Tippett back in the team. Like, don't get that wrong. I want Tippett back this week. He had a solid half in the reserves. Yes, there are rumours he may have been concussed, but looked like he was fine on the bench afterwards, and he was only planned to play a half originally anyway. Now,
well, he needs to come and earn his money, God say. He get over the concussion.
Have to agree with that. I personally do think there'll be two changes to the team this week. I think it'll be Tippett and Mitchell in, and Derricks and Lloyd out. As much as I would love to see Lloyd knock in the sub vest and see how he goes at senior level, I think Tom Mitchell's ahead of him right now, and I wouldn't drop Brandon Jack quite yet.
No, I think Jack should stay in as that small forward with McLean in the midfield. I think Jack's got a spot for the next few weeks. I'd like to see him keep his spot, keep some form up and play Hawthorn.
I agree with that.
I think, like you're saying, I think we tend to, with youngsters, we'll give them a taste of a game and then, you know, send them back to the reserves with that extra bit of confidence that they can get a senior game. So I think we will see Lloyd go back to the reserves, and maybe in a couple of weeks he'll come back into the side. But obviously, from the preseason, one of my favourites is Brandon Jack, so I'd love to see him keep his spot in the side. And I do think, even though he only had 7 touches on the weekend, he gives us a spark up forward, and I think, yeah, get him into some form, get him as that sort of forward target or forward crummer that we've kind of been missing for the first 2 weeks of the season. So I probably, yeah, I agree with you, Bonds. I'd take Lloyd and maybe Derek's out of the side, bring Tippett in. Maybe Goods if he's fit. Otherwise, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Nankervis get a run. We kind of keep wishing it every week, but give that guy a run.
The other one I wouldn't mind seeing come into the team, and I know a few people might be a bit iffy about it, that going off his reserves form has to be, Shane Biggs has to be firmly in discussions right now. He's been quite brilliant from all reports in the reserves this year. He's got disposal efficiency and will give us another option rebounding off the half-back line. What do you guys think?
Is Biggs' problem not necessarily his form, but the fact that Malcheski, Shaw, Rampy, Laidler, you know, it's not an area we struggle for, those running half back tops. So he probably needs a Shaw or Malcheski to have a rest. Maybe, I don't know. But then again, we've seen what happens when you reward the 4 players. So for sure, Malcheski were actually pretty good on the weekend, so I wouldn't be calling for any changes there. So I think Biggs might have to bide his time unless he can play in the midfield.
He was quite good in the midfield in the VFL a few years ago, but even from the Resi watches, he hasn't really been playing there this year.
The thing that stood out to me against Freo yesterday, even though we won, was their midfielders looked bigger than ours. We used to look really big in the midfield, and the bigger bodies of Hawthorn and stuff, I would be a bit worried about having Cunningham, Brandon Jack, and a Biggs and those sort of skinnier players all in the team against the better sides. That's just a little concern I would have. And Jetta, who's quite slight as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. But if you look back to 2012, for our midfield, we'd had Ryan O'Keefe and obviously Josh Kennedy.
Parker.
Adam Goods running through the midfield. There you go, 196 centimetres, 94 kilo man running through.
Probably the sub more often than not as well back then. So, but that was a different game plan where we could tighten the game up. I think that's been worked out. So, as we've talked about before, Longmire's game plan. So I think the pace is, and the younger players are the way to go, but I'm not sure where Biggs fits. But unfortunately, we don't get to see enough of the reserves if you don't live in Sydney, so it's a bit hard to judge him fairly.
I do want to give a nice firm thumbs up to the Needful on the weekend for streaming this one's match. Really appreciate it. It was good to actually watch the reserves play for once. Having a look to the weather for the weekend, it looks like next weekend in Melbourne, which is a massive hallelujah for every Swans fan Australia-wide, it's dry. It isn't raining.
That was one of the best throws to the weather I've heard ever. You should be on the news.
I probably should be, shouldn't I?
Beautiful throw.
Now, in all honesty, though, we're a shocking wet weather team. We've seen all 3 of our losses. It has been raining this year. I don't think that is a coincidence. And both our wins have been in the dry. Not a coincidence. John Longmire, if you ever listen to this podcast, please change your tactics for wet weather football. It's just not working. Swans, wrong way. Your opinions on this?
Is it Longmire's tactics, or do we just have dumb players, perhaps? Because surely he doesn't have a game plan that relies on this long. We're a pretty long kicking side, and that. Surely when it's raining, he says, "Okay, boys, keep it down, get the ball moving. You know, get the basics right in the wet weather when they try to be too precise." I think we've got a lot of athletes over footballers, perhaps, who've probably become footballers over time, so maybe it's just where they get found out when it's a wet day, when it's more about your skills and your football now. But there's definitely a pattern there, but I think there's more of a pattern with us playing top sides in the last year and a half, which is what makes the Freo win so thrilling, to finally beat a rated team. So I'm not really big on the dry wet weather, but I can see what the pattern is there.
SM, what are your opinions on dry versus wet weather?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because you look at some of our wins last year, and we could get some wins in the wet last year, so it's not as if it's it's been a long-term trend, but you can't deny that after the first 5 weeks of the season, with both our wins coming in the dry and all three of our losses in the wet, it's a bit of a trend starting to develop. I honestly don't know what it is. I mean, I do agree to some extent it's Longmire's tactics. He kind of goes a bit too tall in the wet. He doesn't seem like he's too keen to change things up, depending on the weather. But at the same time, you know, you look at a team like GWS and we should be beating them even if we are arguably too tall. So I don't know whether it's just a coincidence or what it is, but I guess we won't find out this week if it's going to be dry because, you know, lock us in for the win.
I have to agree with that. Now, we may as well go for our sure thing and worst nightmare for the week. SM, do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, okay. Sure thing for the week. Look, it's a build-up to the Melbourne game. It's going to be all about Roos against his former club. We'll get lots of clips of the 05 Grand Final, and here it is. And it'll be a great build-up, and it'll be a great occasion. But I think, sure thing, it'll be us by over 6 goals. Nightmare? Well, I mean, it's hard to go back past the nightmare scenario that, you know, we get a repeat of the 2010 game and Melbourne roll over us by about 10 goals, but that'd be a very, very bad nightmare.
Swans rule, what is your sure thing and nightmare for the week?
Look, my sure thing was similar vein. I think there'll be a pre-match Roos, Longmire, Buddy, Powell interview with Fox Footy or whatever channel we're on, and Roosie will talk about the days with Goodsy and O'Keefe and Jackie and anyone else you can put a Y on the end of their name, like Kennedy and Buddy.
And
Tippity and Longmire. They'll just remember the days and they'll joke about the days in the coach's box where Roosie was down on the boundary and Horse took his snakes or something, you know, that sort of bullshit he goes on with.
Wasn't it Baz who took his snakes?
Oh, look, I don't know. maybe Barry Hall will interview them both and, you know, that'll be even awkward. My nightmare scenario, short-term, would be a typical Goods injury a la Chris Judd today. You know, for 3 minutes in, he looks sharp from that run and then just hitting that hamstring. That would be a nightmare, especially if it's Goodsy. And a long-term nightmare is that Tom Derricks gets to 50 club games with the Swans because he's channeling Paul Chambers out there with that crappy ruck work and horseshit football. I mean, he wouldn't get a game at Launceston Football Club, so...
Look, in regards to Derek, sir, I think we can say the difference between him and Chambers is at least he's got a heart out there. He made 5 tackles. I don't think Chambers ever made a tackle for the Swans.
Yeah, true. But I think if you ever got tackled to the ground by Tom Derek, you know your days are numbered in the AFL.
My sure thing, number one sure thing this week would have to be that we are going to have no negative press on the Swans this week. Same as the Adelaide week a few weeks before. Everyone was talking that we're back in form, that the Franklin deal was suddenly going to make sense. As soon as we lose, everyone jumps on the bandwagon of hating us. We'll watch the media circus do a complete 360 turnaround this week. As for a negative, worst nightmare, I have to agree, the 2010 result against Melbourne, repeating. That was the worst day I've ever been at the MCG. I don't want it to happen again.
My small frustration for the week is whatever our result is, the headline's always something about Buddy. Like yesterday it was like Buddy's third quarter inspires Swans to win, or last week it was Buddy's goalless effort causes Swans loss. It's never like Rampy's run or Malcheski's kicking, or it's always whatever Buddy did. So it's a bit frustrating when some of the other, like he was great yesterday, but Rampy was super.
Unfortunately, that's exactly the same way it was with Hawthorn for so many years.
Yep, that's it.
I can't, unfortunately, look at it. It's just, with Hawthorn, it was the same. When they lost to us, they were saying Franklin's kicking cost them the grand final, and really he actually brought them nearly into it. And it was strong performances from our team that won it.
I thought it was
Does anyone know how many disposals Kennedy got on the weekend? He got 38 disposals. But no one's talking about it. It's all the fault for the 4 goals that Franklin kicked.
Someone in the media, hardly the media, had the temerity to call Kennedy B grade during the week, so they were eating humble pie yesterday.
The best thing about Kennedy's performance on the weekend, 21 contested possessions. 21. That is insane.
The best thing about Kennedy and McGlynn is that we got him from Hawthorn for basically nothing. I mean, I just love that aspect
now,
of it.
in regards to what a Hawthorn fan will say, right, this, with the draft picks we got from McLean and Kennedy, we got Stratton. And then your collar allowed you to recruit him. Sorry, I just... We don't have any Hawthorn fans on the show, and I felt as if someone had to defend him to this week.
Yeah, but has Stratton really been that impressive this year?
Not overly. He's been injured, hasn't he?
Well, let's put a call out to any Hawks blogger who wants to come on to the podcast leading up to the Hawks game and chat footy. We're happy to have you on. Just give us a private message.
Anyways, guys, thank you.
We won't call you a vlog on the show, but,
Anyways, guys, we're going to call it a night there. Thank you for listening to Swan's Big Footy podcast, and have a great night and an even better week.
Peace out.